This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Maybe you've been thinking about therapy. You realize a therapist could help you work things out, but
I can't afford it. Therapy is expensive.
Talkspace is different. Talkspace is one of only a few online mental health providers that takes insurance. Average copays are only $15.
I can afford $15.
And most insured members pay nothing.
Nothing? No copays at all? With insurance, I could see a therapist and I might not have to pay anything out of pocket?
That's right. Nothing should stand in your way of getting support from a caring, licensed therapist. And if you don't have insurance, no problem. You can pay out of pocket for a lower cost than in-person therapy. And because you meet your therapist online, you can schedule appointments for whenever and wherever it's most comfortable for you.
Wow, I'm feeling better already.
You can pay for Talkspace with insurance or get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You've got the home of the truth. Back to the bald-faced truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
In a weird way, this show at times is therapeutic for coaches. I'm saying that. I'm not saying I'm a therapist, but I think it's therapeutic, right? We've had coaches on regularly, and over the years we had Jonathan Smith on or Mike Riley on or we've had Dan Lanning on or before that even Chip Kelly, Mario Cristobal, Bruce Barnum at Portland State. And what do they say? They say, okay, when they lose a game, this is kind of the last time they have to talk about it when they come on the show. And then it's all in the rearview mirror. Like, it's the last time that Trent Bray is going to have to talk about last week, right? And so in that way, remember what happened earlier this season? We had Bruce Barnum hang up on us to kind of leave it all behind. Maybe we'll let Trent Bray do that today. He's joining us now. Maybe this will be therapeutic. I don't know. Give me an idea. Like, I watched the end of your game last week, and I'm kind of losing my mind because I'm looking at the officials, and I can say everything I want to say, but you have to stay composed and poised watching that. Mm-hmm. But when you're watching film, do you have a more expressive opinion about what you see? Or, you know, I don't think that'll get you in trouble.
I have a very expressive opinion on the field. I just have to keep it inside, and then, yeah, watching film, it confirms it.
Yeah, because when you get to the post-game news conference, often you haven't a chance to see anything, right? Like, you're just whatever you saw from probably a bad angle on the field, later you're looking at it from better angles. But I saw it pretty clearly. Looked a lot like interference in a lot of other games that I've seen. I would have liked to see you guys get one more play, but I also love that you come into the news conference and you go, hey, a lot of self-inflicted things, and you sort of focused on that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, because you look at it, that didn't lose us the game. Now, at that moment, could have helped us win the game or give us a chance to? Absolutely. But the fact that we were in that position was not because of that call. It was because of the things we did to give UNLV the opportunity to have that lead.
How did you feel that you competed? Just from you're on the sideline, you get a feel for the energy of the game. Did you guys compete?
Absolutely. And that's what gives me such great hope about this program now and in the future. We're down 16 with under 5 minutes left to go in the game. A lot of teams would very easy kind of, oh, we lost and give up. And these guys kept fighting, and we were 3 yards away from having a chance to tie the game. So the fact that they've done it all year. And so it's good to see that part of it.
You get an opportunity against, a semi-familiar opponent, Justin Wilcox and Cal. They are in a real frustrating position in that, you know, they've lost four in a row. I think it's by a total of 9 points. They've been in close games for a lot of the year. What do you see on film when you watch Cal?
Yeah, they're very talented. I mean, they're better than their record. They're one of those teams that's more talented than their record. They've lost to good teams close. And for whatever reason, they've had, kind of like us the last 2 weeks, had trouble winning those close games. So they're very similar.
Trent Bray with us, Oregon State football coach. I don't need you to talk specifics on health and injuries. I know you like guys to be able to talk, but are you healthier this week? Are you getting some guys back that you haven't had, or are you getting some guys that maybe have been playing hurt that will be in better condition against Cal and Berkeley?
Oh, we're about the same.
Defensive line. Last week you said, hey, if we can stop the run, we're going to be fine. You did better than a week earlier. But were you satisfied with that, or was there a lot of work to do after watching film?
I would say happy with the improvement. There were a lot of plays that looked like I wanted to look from a physicality standpoint and guys being in the right spots. Are we where we want to be? Absolutely not. And so we got to continue to grow every week. And this week being another one of those opportunities to, we got to be better than we were last week. And so that's what I'm looking for at this point.
It was interesting after talking to you last week, because I kind of started to pay attention more to the fit on defense. And it's probably where your eyes go all the time, right? You're looking at our guys in the right spot. And there were a couple of times where your guy was in the right spot, and for whatever reason, they don't make the play. Is that a tougher correction for you than, hey, I need to get you in the right spot? Or, you know, how do you deal with, you know, hey, you were in the right position, but you got your head down, or you didn't tackle right, or you didn't wrap up? Or is that a tougher correction than getting in the right spot? Or how does that differ from a coaching standpoint?
It's a good thing when you're coaching that. I'll say that. Getting guys in the right spot, seeing the right things and being in the right spots, that's the first battle. You got to be there to have a chance. And then if you're coaching, okay, the technique of and the skill of getting a guy on the ground once you're there, then that's how you can improve. When you got to get them there and teach them how to tackle, that can be a long way away. So that's good to see them in that position now. Okay, what would have changed me from getting them on the ground to not?
There are statistically more closer games this year in college football. Like, more teams are playing one-score games than other years. And I feel like every time I look up, even your game, you know, you're down by multiple scores, and all of a sudden, at the end of the game, you have a chance. It's starting to feel a little like the NFL that way, where everything is feeling a lot of back and forth, a lot of one-score games. Do you think there's a reason for that? Is it the two-minute warning? Is it parity? Or is it just maybe that's just an oddity? We need a bigger sample size.
I think there's more parity now. For most, I think you have your top teams that kind of suck everyone else's talent to them, and then so I think that's part of it.
I am looking at some success stories in football, like, you know, look at some of the service academies. Army and Navy seem to have found something. You know, they're not as prone to the portal as maybe others. Indiana's done a nice job recruiting, a lot of Group of Five players that are very experienced. And I think there's some examples out there that maybe are a little surprising that kind of fly in the face of the idea that, hey, the major programs are just going to buy all the players. What do you see happening out there that you want to implement at Oregon State?
Yeah, I'm not surprised. We actually talked about that today. I'm not surprised by the Naval Academy. I'm not surprised by UNLV. When you look at their teams, I think UNLV's 10 of their 11 starters on defense are seniors. The Naval Academy is not losing guys because they're going somewhere else to play football. They're there for a bigger reason than just, you know, college football and the other stuff. So you're seeing guys stay that are there in a program and have matured in a program, and they're having a lot of success. I'm kind of like, in basketball, when, you know, everyone was using freshmen, then you had a Gonzaga or someone that was using guys that were seniors and juniors. It makes a huge difference at this level. The difference between an 18-year-old and a 22-year-old is night and day. So that's why I think they're having success, and that's what we want to be. We want to be that development program, which we've been in the past. We're just having, because of what happened to us with graduation and portal, we're just back at that young stage.
Yeah, and I think too you look at depth, right? And I think you've been through some of that in the last couple of weeks, where, you know, when you lose guys, you know, you get really young or you get really inexperienced, and there's some fall off there in the depth area. We're talking to Trent Bray, Oregon State coach. The six sacks on offense. I know you've paid some attention to that. What happened there? Is that breakdowns? Is that great plays by UNLV? Is that, you know, a case of maybe a quarterback holding the ball too long, all of the above? What did you see on film?
There were some breakdowns, but there were also the UNLV guy just won. And so it's a combination of those things. So it's not one big alarming thing. It's okay, we can clean up you know, the breakdowns, and then we got to just use better technique. And when you're going against good pass rushers, which they had, you got to be clean with that stuff, or they'll beat you.
You've got some opportunities here, and there's some games here where I say, you know, this is where Oregon State, this is a very pivotal month for you, right? With some opportunities, of course, to play some opponents and get some wins and get bowl eligible and all of that. And, you know, but you, as a coach, you want to compartmentalize that. How do you keep yourself from kind of looking ahead even into the bye week and going, hey, we're going to get healthier there, or we have a chance to get healthier there, and you really need that. You probably need that bye week in 2 weeks as much as anybody.
Yeah, the part that keeps me from thinking about that is the opponents you're playing that week.
Yeah,
there's no letdown, and it's all about winning that game. So it keeps your mind focused on those things. But you know, just thinking about it now, I mean, to have that bye week late in the year is always a good thing, because you're always going to be a little bit banged up. Now we're a lot banged up, but it's always good to have late in the year.
I had a football coach in high school who said, you know, when you're tired and everybody else is tired, he always wanted us to run that sprint during conditioning extra hard. He said, psychologically, the guy to the left of you, the guy to the right of you, or in a game situation when you're tired and that guy's tired, he's going to see you like that. It's really demoralizing for the opponent to see you. Gosh, this guy's not tired. Is there a psychological element? I may be reaching here, so you tell me. Is there a psychological element where you're playing an opponent that's lost four in a row? You've lost two in a row. That whoever jumps out of the gate on Saturday and maybe wins the first 5 minutes, the first 7 minutes of that game, has a distinct advantage? Or am I making too much of that?
I don't think there's an advantage to that, and I think, you know, college football is a long game, and I think you mentioned already that what you see in these games throughout the country, the team's down and they end up coming back and mm-hmm. and all that stuff. So I think it's which one of us, you know, in the situation is going to be resilient when that adversity hits. There's been a lot of lead changes in every game we've had this year, and in a lot of college football games. So it's when that lead changes, or you're up or you're down, how do you handle being up, and then how do you handle being down when you are down? Because both are probably going to happen in that game.
You get a nice West Coast road trip. I think it's going to feel like just, you know, the old time Pac-12, of course, going down to Berkeley. You guys have had some success there. What do you remember playing at Berkeley as a player?
Well, we played some great teams. You know, when Aaron Rodgers was there and Marshawn Lynch and those guys I always won in Berkeley, so that's what I remember the most.
So, do you remember tackling Marshawn? What was that like?
I do. He was young, a couple years younger than me, but yeah, he played against us. I think he was a freshman. He was tough to bring down and a good player. You knew he was going to be a great player.
Did you have that sense about Aaron Rodgers then, or was he just like, hey, this is college and this is a Jeff Tedford quarterback?
When the first year we played him was his first year there, we went up there and beat him in Berkeley. And then he played us the next year, and they kicked our butt. And you kind of like, oh, yeah, this guy's going to be pretty good.
Trent Bray, good luck to you on Saturday. I'll see you at the stadium. Appreciate you joining us every week. And I'm going to let you hang up, because the minute you hang up, you don't have to talk about last week anymore, right? Like, this is the is this the last interview you'll do about last week?
Yes, it is.
All right, so you're going to hang up, and the minute you hang up, it's behind you.
Exactly.
All right, thanks for coming on. You can go now.
No problem.
All right, Coach. There he goes. Trent Bray hanging up on us. Not as dramatic as Bruce Barnum slamming the phone down, but I think there's something therapeutic to that, to these guys. I never did that with Mike Riley. Mike Riley, bless him, nicest guy. Oregon State had a couple years where things weren't good, and Riley was, you know, was coming on the show, and he would come on every week, you know, lose, he would come on. I've had other coaches, Mark Helfrich, who would only come on after a win. I've had other coaches Dan Lanning, that would just call up and say, hey, I want to be on the show tomorrow. You got room for me? And I respect that. Like, wants fans to be connected. So tomorrow, 4:00, Dylan Gabriel. Dylan Gabriel's on the show because a reader at johnconzano.com in the Monday mailbag requested Dylan Gabriel on the show, said, can you get Dylan Gabriel on the show? I said, congrats, you're producing the radio show, take the rest of the day off. Then I reached out and said, Dylan, want to come on? Dylan's coming on 4 o'clock tomorrow. Leave it here. Some parting thoughts coming up.
Save big on all your Halloween needs, all in the Kroger app. Get juicy red, green, or black seedless grapes for 99 cents a pound. Then get tender USDA choice boneless beef chuck roast for $4.99 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.